Good morning, everyone. This is Adam Zarenko. I'm the executive director of the Albany County Land Bank. It is Tuesday, April 14th, 10:33 a.m. We are convening the Albany County Land Bank's Acquisition and Disposition Committee meeting. We are recording the meeting and holding it virtually in accordance with the New York State Executive Order in connection with COVID 19 for public meetings. We're going to record this meeting. It will be transcribed and available on our website in the future for posterity. We'll also do the minutes. And there is a view or listen only call in line. The number was provided to the public. I'm not sure if anyone's on it right now. But you know, we'll definitely take notes and post them online. So on the call, I have myself from the Land Bank staff, Amanda Wyckoff, our Director of Operations, Eric Gans, our Assistant Director of Operations, Will Sekula, our Planning and Projects Manager, and Irv Ackerman, our Real Estate Sales Manager. And from the Land Bank's Board of Directors, I have Charles Tuohy, who's our Chairman, Pastor David Trainum, who's our Vice Chair, Samuel Wells, who is our Secretary. And am I missing anyone else that I didn't mention on the call?
Todd Curley just got on. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, hey, Todd. Welcome.
Morning.
Good morning. We're just getting started. Perfect timing.
Great.
Okay, very good. So we have Todd Curley, also a member of our Board of Directors, a member of the Acquisition Disposition Committee. So I did circulate an agenda ahead of the meeting. We have a few items to go through. I will try to move swiftly. I know everyone's got limited time. Thank you all for calling in remotely, especially. We want to start with a review of the minutes. So the minutes were attached to what was circulated, and hopefully everyone received those and had a chance to look at them. One of the items we discussed last meeting was Arbor Hill Development Corp's proposal for some West Hill properties. There's more on that today. That came in late last night. I can talk about. Other than that, it's the sales recommendations. And unless anyone has any questions, amendments, or changes, look for a motion to adopt these minutes.
Move.
Second.
Yes, Charlie.
Pastor David.
Pastor David, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain? Very good. Thank you. Next, we have I actually have several items of new business, one on the agenda, and I have a few other updates I would like to cover for the committee's benefit before we jump into the sales review. The first item is I was contacted by the developers for the Governor's Motor Inn that have been working very diligently on their development proposal to eliminate the building and redevelop it into self-storage. Prior to COVID 19, they were following the terms of their agreement, and I'm not sure if the committee recalls, but their agreement had certain milestones designed to keep them moving on the proposal, and it had different levels, like a due diligence phase, a deadline where they had to make application to the town of Guilderland for the development, an approval deadline, and a final approval deadline to get to closing. The developers did call me to express that they were concerned they weren't going to meet their deadline because of this COVID-19 obviously has caused a lot of interruption, specifically around the town of Guilderland has postponed their development review and approval process. So they have been working actively up until this point. And so I told them that, you know, we talked about what a fair extension would be, and we landed on a 6-month extension. And given the length of that term, I just wanted to make sure I presented that to the committee. Technically, under the agreement and their due diligence phase, this COVID-19 does provide them with an opportunity to terminate their end of the agreement, but they don't wish to do that. They would prefer an extension. So I did want to just run it by the committee because it is a 6-month extension, but I would recommend amending the agreement to provide the milestones. So I put the new milestones in the email. The new due diligence phase would be October 13th. The new approval deadline, October 24th. And then the approval period would go through January
26th. By me, I drove by there, and like they've torn down half the building so far.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of work. They have made quite an investment in their site work. I'm sorry, not the site work, the diligence work. They actually have been doing some dig pits too. And actually, I got a call late last night that it looks like the town may be looking to reopen their development process over the next week or so. So I think we may be in good shape, but I still for paperwork reasons, I would like to execute an extension if the committee approves.
Hey, Adam, it's Todd. The only thing I would recommend is I'm not really sure why we extend the due diligence contingency date. I mean, that's work that should have been done prior, and that really has nothing to do with the governmental approval process. So
okay.
If you do have to extend that, I'm okay doing it a shorter period of time, not another 6 months. Governmental approvals, I completely understand. The landscape's completely changed. Meetings have been canceled, so I think it definitely makes sense to give them that six-month extension. But I don't think
okay.
We get extensions on all of the contingencies. I would just focus on the governmental approval side. If there's a couple of due diligence items they're still concerned with and they couldn't get done by yesterday's deadline, they just
yeah.
Let us know exactly what they are, and then we can talk
okay.
About that specifically.
Okay. That sounds great.
Adam, I don't know if you heard me, but I just want to let you know that I'm on the call. It's Natisha.
Oh, hi, Natisha. Thank you for joining.
Good morning.
I got you. We're just covering the first item after the minutes. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Anyone else have any feedback? That's good feedback, Todd. I'll go back to them with that. I think that's the primary focus of their concern was the government approvals.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I agree.
Very good. Anyone else? Okay. I don't think we need to vote on that. Sounds like everyone approves. That was more of just a check-in on my end. Next we have, so I sent this last minute. I apologize. It came in late last night. Arbor Hill Development Corp. Is a local economic development group in Arbor Hill. They had proposed a project that we discussed at the last committee meeting called the Nehemiah Project, which is essentially a three-phase revitalization development effort focused on 1st and 2nd Street along Henry Johnson and Judson, and also the Lexington Ave corridor between 1st and 2nd. We talked last meeting about, you know, the overall proposal, which are centered around three phases, looking to do primarily redevelop vacant lots into different townhouses. It's a pretty ambitious program. Arbor Hill's been working with developers and is looking to secure grant funding. They are interested in a handful of land bank properties, I think almost entirely lots, if not entirely lots. The committee had several questions that they wanted us to get clarification on from Arbor Hill, centered mainly around to what extent, if any, COVID-19 would have impacted the project or the proposed timeline. Also, if, you know, there's concerns about if we do tie up the properties. I mean, what the Arbor Hill would like to do is basically have the properties set aside, enter into some sort of provisional purchase agreement where they're able to do their due diligence work and seek grant funding. Our primary concern was around maintenance that does tie up the property for quite some time. There is a maintenance cost and obligation to the land bank. They expressed a willingness to enter into an agreement for that or to pay for the maintenance, depending on, I guess, which one is a better arrangement for us and them. And then who would be the main point of contact? And in this case, it's Arbor Hill. So I think those were the questions that came out of the last review of this proposal. I know I came late last night and I sent it early this morning. So if anyone has any questions or would like to discuss more, I'm happy to open the floor. Also would like to get some feedback and some guidance on how we want to get back to this particular group.
I know there's an it's impossible to nail down a time frame, but did they mention approximation at all?
They, Pastor, they put, you know, although the situation is fluid for the COVID-19, they think it'll be about 3 to 5 months to do the pre-development work. And then their phase one, I'm assuming once that's funded and approved, would be an 18 month. And phase one is largely like, it's focused around the construction of housing on First and Second between Henry Johnson and Lexington. So I guess the first phase for us would be to focus on the key question, the threshold question here is for these vacant lots, is the committee willing to basically set them aside, designate them for Arbor Hills effort, providing they enter into some sort of maintenance agreement to offset any costs to the land bank for holding those for 3 to 5 months at least.
Yep. Okay, I think that's smart. And we're looking at after the, let's take worst case scenario, after the 5 months, that we're turning the properties over to them. Am I right? And then they're entering into their own reconstruction or whatever they're going to do with it. Am I right? It's out of our
hands
at that point.
So the way I think they're proposing it, Pastor, is subject to what comes out of their due diligence phase, and if they get the grant funding for phase one, they would then formally seek to purchase the properties. And then at that point, yeah, we would transact the properties to them, basically sell them to them, and then Arbor Hills Partnership would develop them. From there, we would probably be less involved.
Okay. And I apologize. If I had read the entire document, I would have saw that everything, as you just said, is already in the document.
Not a
my
problem.
Apologies. It's number under number two there, but at least we got it recorded on record. Okay. Thank you. No further questions on my part.
Adam, it's Natisha. First of all, I want to say they put together a great presentation. I did get to read through it when you sent it, and I'm really excited to see how this redevelopment is going to look in the Arbor Hill area or West Hill area because they actually really do need it. My question, I don't have any objections to anything, but how does the purchase price or offer price factor into this process because they haven't offered anything yet for the property yet, correct?
Right, correct. So we posed that question to them. They basically, I think they're waiting to hear back on two things. What comes out of their due diligence work to inform what their purchase price would be, but also I would imagine they didn't say this explicitly, but how much grant funding they can secure. For previous state grants, one of the questions the state will need to know is what is the purchase price, the acquisition price of the property. So I think we'll have to cross that bridge. I think we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. And one way I would suggest we frame that is if we provide provisional set aside or we can land bank them for this effort, we wouldn't be making a commitment to necessarily sell the properties unless that's needed for the grant. But we would want a maintenance agreement, and then we would have any sale of the land subject to board approval at that time, and then we would be able to decide whether or not we want to accept the purchase offer.
Okay, thank you.
Said differently, I don't think we would proceed with selling the properties if they hadn't secured grant funding, which won't happen until they do their diligence and grant process. So we have different checks and balances along the way.
Got it. Thanks.
Anyone else on the committee have any questions or feedback?
No, I would just it's Todd. I'm all for working with them. I think it's could be a great opportunity. I would recommend just talking to our council about how to structure it. A simple option contract might be the way to go. And
okay.
Their option payments per se could be their maintenance of the properties. So that might be
okay.
The easiest thing to do. Maybe it's a 6-month option where they can exercise their option at any time in those 6 months, but then they'll have some obligations of what they need to do to fulfill their needs of the option as well, which could be the maintenance. So I would talk to Kate, but I think that might be the best way to go.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. I will talk to Kate about that. Anyone else have any? Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. We should set him aside. I have no problem with that.
Okay. So why don't we take a vote on this one for the record here? Can I have a motion to go back to Arbor Hill Development Corp with presenting them with some form of option subject to Kate's approval that would be for 6 months that would also contain a maintenance agreement in support of their program, please?
Motion made. Pastor David.
Second by Natisha.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any committee members opposed or abstain? Okay. Thank you. Next, we have, I just want to do a quick update, more of a check-in. It's been a while. We have picked back up the RFQ for the South End. We have, this is a public meeting. We want to stay competitive, so I will say we have more than one respondent to our RFQ for the South End clusters for the 60 or so properties, which was very exciting. The applicants, the respondents that responded appear to meet the qualifications that we set forth in the RFQ, and we're working on the draft evaluations right now, and we'll be setting up interviews via Zoom with the respondents. So both the RFQs, I'm sorry, I guess it's more of just a South End RFQ right now. We're not going to go forward, I think, right now with the Henry Johnson Clinton until we understand this COV-19. But all of the respondents to the RFQ for the South End indicated that despite COVID-19, they're still interested in pursuing the opportunity. So it's pretty exciting stuff on our end. We're going to proceed through our process just remotely, and I'll make sure to keep the board informed, but I just wanted to update the committee on that since we weren't sure what the, you know, the new world that we're in right now would result in, but it sounds like we can move forward there.
That's fantastic.
Any questions about that? Yeah, it's pretty good news for us, though. Thanks, Pastor. Any more questions about the RFQ, South End?
No.
And then last update I have on the acquisition side, prior to COVID-19 shutdown, we had been provided the opportunity to acquire almost 40 properties from Albany County, and they're primarily in municipalities. There's, I think, 10 different municipalities. We've continued to do our pre-acquisition work, and we've decided that there's 37 properties in, like, Westerlo, New Scotland, Bethlehem, Colony, Bern, Gilderland, you know, properties in areas where we don't have a lot of inventory right now that we want to acquire. A fair amount of land, so we're excited about that because that's something that we can still move through our process. And so we honored the opportunity to acquire the properties. We sent the deeds over to the county. We haven't heard back if they've processed them yet, but we will be making those acquisitions. The buildings are in better shape than some of our other acquisitions, so we didn't want to let them sit any longer. And we're going to do what we can to move them. If this COVID-19 shutdown is protracted, we have been practicing our skills with our virtual tours and other things like that. So we're just going to move forward with the acquisitions. I want to just run it through the committee, let them know, since we're on a call today. We could use a refresh of inventory, especially some of the land in the outlying areas. Okay. That's all the updates, new business I have. If we can transition, unless anyone has anything else, transition to sales summaries as our final item. Very good. Okay, so I am going to, hopefully everyone's received the sales matrix. What seemed to work well last time is we'll refer to the applicant based on the application number in the interest of the privacy policy and the open competitiveness of our process. This is a public meeting. And I will run through the recommendations that we've determined as staff through our remote review. And I'm happy to talk about any in each sale, or if we want to wait till the end, feel free. Whatever is easiest for the committee. but we did spend some time looking through these and vetting them since we're working remotely. And I think in the interest of facilitating the discussion, we could just tell the committee where we landed as a recommendation. And then to the extent there's any discussion or any other suggestions, we're happy to dive into those. So first up is 167 Second Avenue. This is a large building on Second Avenue, the south end of Albany. This is a big project. Something that I wanted to note here. It's also visible on Second Ave as kind of a more traffic corridor in that part of the neighborhood. And it's also a strategic property for us because it's adjacent to our South End redevelopment effort, the RFEI cluster, RFQ clusters. We think that of the applications presented to the committee, applicant 1684 would be the most viable applicant. They have purchased a property from us and have secured bank funding to rehab a property. They're doing a very good job on that rehab, and I think they're nearly complete. They also later in the process submitted they have access to more capital if they need it for this project, which I think is important. Given the size of this project and the visibility of the project. I actually don't have a recommendation for an alternate buyer here because of those considerations for this property. We didn't see another applicant that stood out as a strong candidate for this property besides 1684. Any questions about that sale?
Yes, Adam, 1676, other than being out of town, would that be one of the disqualifiers, sir? Because he or she would be the only other one that would be close to having any resource, I would think, to bring the project to completion.
Yeah, Pastor,
I think we may want to consider
them.
A backup.
That was a matter of discussion on a staff review. We actually soft circled that applicant as a potential backup buyer. The only thing that we had as a kind of negative on that application, notwithstanding maybe less of a local presence, is there wasn't a history of doing a rehab project that we saw, especially one of this scale for this size building. So, but that is balanced out potentially as the capital on the financial assets. But we ended up thinking maybe it wasn't a good recommendation, but happy to change that if the committee would prefer a second. I know in the past we've done a lot of second alternate buyers, so we can add that in if you would like.
I just wouldn't want to see it fall through and then have to start it all over again. But I know what you're saying. I'm looking at the other applicants, and they just don't jump out. The 1684 is the one that jumps out big time, but the others are just there. But I was just looking at it from the perspective of if it didn't go through, for whatever reason on its side, to have somebody in place that we could just jump right on.
Okay.
But I'm
open okay
to the
that.
Committee. I'm open to the committee, though.
Are other committee members open to adding 1676 as an alternate buyer? Anyone opposed to it?
No.
All right. Okay, so why don't we add as an alternate buyer, Pastor Tranum? That's not a problem for us. We'll present it that way at the board meeting. So we'll do 1684 and then 1676 as the alternate.
We may want to just have a little discussion on that one with the other board members on Tuesday. Would that be okay or no? Because they may say, let's not do anything. I just think we need some, just a little bit more dialogue on it, more than just, let's put this one there. Maybe they'll see something that I'm not seeing.
Okay. Yeah, we can. I'll put both on the agenda, on the matrix, and the board is free to discuss it. It's okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm fine with that.
Very good.
184 3rd Street is a residential vacant lot in the West Hill neighborhood of Albany. We actually have both of these. We don't think either of these applications are viable. And so we wouldn't recommend advancing either as buyers, but they both did technically complete the process and present applications. One of the buyers does not have anywhere near the financial capacity they would need to do this type of project, to purchase the lot and maintain the lot, or to do the proposed, which is new construction on this lot, and is not from the neighborhood or not from the region, frankly. And then the other buyer is from out of the country, and put in, I think, more than half a dozen applications for land bank properties through us. We are working with them, but we don't think this is the right property, and we're still trying to work on the connection of what's drawing applicant 1886 from where they live on the planet to this region. And I feel like until we get there, we don't feel comfortable, especially recommending this sale. So we did want to present this in the interest of transparency, but we're recommending neither buyer go forward for 184 3rd Street at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. That makes sense. It is interesting to see our reach, though. This is quite the distance.
It is. And I agree with Adam, you know, to determine what's drawing them to our region. I like the purpose for 1690, but there's no resource there to do what's needed, and it's just incomplete. So I think we table it.
Very good. 186 First Street, we actually want a table. We had something come up that needs to be addressed with the – oh, no, I'm sorry. In this one, we have not demolished the property. We have it on our list of properties to demo. The adjacent property owners are interested in acquiring the property, but it's our policy not to sell a property that we're going to demolish until it's demolished, and then we have our process be open. So they're strong candidates. We just want to follow our own process. So we had this on the matrix, but we're actually not prepared to move it forward at this month. So I just want to table it, please. 19. Thanks, Sam. 19 Mount Regis Avenue is a residential vacant lot in the town of Colony. We received an application from an adjacent property owner, so we're recommending to advance this applicant, who is one to maintain it as is. This is applicant 1855.
What's a paper street?
A paper street, take me back to planning school here. So a paper street is basically a section of land that was designated to one day become a street, but it was never formally mapped through the municipal process as a public street. So it's privately available, and it was never fully realized. Is that right, Will? Did I get that right?
I mean, it's mapped as a street. There's just no street there.
It's not built.
A street was never built. A street was never built, but it's mapped as a street at one point.
Okay, gotcha.
And we have a fair amount of paper streets come into our inventory from developments that just never materialized. And some of them, actually, a lot of them, we have trouble selling. So this is actually pretty exciting application for us. I'm on the back here. I'm on 197 North Lake and 199 North Lake, or a residential vacant lot and residential vacant building in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance this sale to the applicant, who's listed as 1904 and 1905 here. It's the same applicant. The applicant's going to renovate the building and operate it as a rental and leave the lot is adjacent to the property, leave it as just an open space lot. This is an applicant who has a good track record with us and adequate financial capacity. And this is not part of this applicant's HCR grant. There's other property sales that are pending or have been sold to this applicant in particular, who's working with the small building rehab program. This would just be outside that, so this wouldn't be part of that. So we would expect that the timeline would not be delayed on rehabbing this, and you would just move forward as a normal property sale. 202 15th Street.
Adam, quick question.
Yep.
Could we get them up on that offer price? Because it's pretty low compared to what we had.
Oh,
listing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm all for it. Okay. But
yeah,
just, you know, the offer amount is low compared to our asking price. And
yeah,
normally we ask everybody to bring that up. So
you're right, Sam. I overlooked that. Yes, we will go back and ask for something closer to our asking price prior to the board meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for flagging that.
If he doesn't come up, what do we do?
I would recommend.
Go ahead, Sam.
I would recommend. Let's see. We've had it. I mean, it's still pretty recent. I'd recommend holding on to it. We only had it for, 5 months or so? It's not too old. A lot has been there for a while, but.
Yeah. I would agree with that, Sam.
Okay, that also means that we don't let the lot go under.
Right. Yeah, it's a package deal. We'd have to sell it
Correct.
As a package. Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with Sam. I would agree with Sam's recommendation. I mean, this is we just got this, relatively speaking, and we could put it back out there. But I think he'll come up. We'll be persuasive.
Gotcha.
Anything else on North Lake Properties? I'd like to table 202 15th Street. This is one where we had something come up at the last minute on our vetting process, so we didn't feel comfortable until we get it clarified. So I just want to scratch it from this sales cycle, please. Next we have 21 Lexington Avenue. This is a building we've had for quite some time, since this was our original, I think, from February 2015. We've had multiple applications for this property over the years, but none have been viable. We have two completed applications this sales cycle. We wanted to present these to the committee. We feel, although there's some hesitation, and I think some aspects of the application where it would be great if it happens. Like in this case, I'm looking at 1643. There's a workforce development component. I don't know how probable that is to materialize, or what type of use that would be for out of that building, but the proposal on 1643 to acquire and rehab the property, we think that this is one that should be considered by the committee. This particular applicant does not reside in the area, but is working with a partner who purchased a land bank property in the South End and has been to the property multiple times. We've had multiple discussions about some of the challenges in this with this particular property, some of the challenges in this particular part of our service of the area that we serve. And the applicant, almost despite some of those discussions, frankly, is still willing to proceed with the project. And so, you know, we just want to make sure we're always transparent with buyers about things that we know, the challenges they may encounter. We didn't really have any reason where this wouldn't be a viable outcome for us for 1643. So we wanted to present it to the committee, frankly. And then also 1807, the what was 1807? I can't read my note here. We didn't think that this was a viable application.
They have not been in the building.
Oh, right. They have not been in the building, right, because so that's part of our required – I mean, that's a problem for us. So
that's not only is that required, but it's required for a reason to understand the amount of investment that the building's going to need. So we wanted to present 1643 to the committee, open to discussion, but, you know, of the applications that's come along, this is the most viable one we've had to date since we've acquired the property.
I'm looking at his resources. Is that enough, Adam, to bring that to completion? I don't see where they have access to additional resource to do it. I'm looking at that number, and it doesn't seem like that would do it. Maybe if he had pre-approved loan funds or something, but there's nothing.
Will, was there additional resources here or no?
Not on paper. I can double check, but that may be correct. I think you
okay, Pastor.
More.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So why don't we go back to applicant 1643 and flag that, and to the extent we can see more resources that are accessible, would the committee be interested in us carrying it forward on the matrix to the board next week?
I would, however, it would depend on how much extra he has. And again, it's just me, Adam, and board members. That's been the type of problem when somebody is from out of town, they come in, they purchase the property, and they don't have enough money to actually bring it to completion, and it sits even longer. And and again, I'm open to the committee. I really am. Because I want to see these properties go just as bad as everybody else, but I also don't want it to sit. And I know we've had it for over five years, but I think we've got a better opportunity if he doesn't buy it and bring it to, I think we've got a better opportunity to do something with it ourselves rather than letting him stay at arm's length and, you know, not do anything with it except think that the property is going to continue to increase in value. Again, just my thoughts as an outsider looking in.
I mean, my opinion is if you feel comfortable with the finances, Adam, after going back to the applicant and asking for more and you feel comfortable with it, I'm okay with bringing it to the board on Tuesday. That's when our next, yeah. So, you know, as long as you guys feel comfortable with it, and then we'll have to stay on top of them with enforcement. But we've had it for 5 years. We got to get something going on it. At the very least, I know, I'm sure you all have looked at the building and know what kind of shape it's in, but, you know, when you've held on to it for that long, start to wonder just, you know, what kind of shape the building is in and how well it's going to hold up if we don't move and take a chance with somebody.
Yeah. Okay. That all makes sense. Why don't we go back and see to what extent, if any, there's more financial capacity and understand the magnitude of that number and just make an educated decision on whether or not to advance it with our team on Tuesday. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
Thank you. 219 Spruce Street is a large residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. We actually want to table this sale too, only because we were able to connect with Department of City Planning in Albany. This property, I'm not sure if committee members have their maps up, but this property is rather large and it abuts a lot of properties, not just this applicant. And this applicant just wants something to happen with this property, frankly. The Albany Community Land Trust apparently has open discussion with the city of Albany on possibly making this a common shared alleyway and may be interested in acquiring it. And so city planning confirmed that that was something they were thinking about or at least exploring. And so I think until we have the outcome of that sale,
because this applicant would benefit from that too, frankly, we should table this until we get some clarity, so we don't sell it at the expense of a broader opportunity to serve kind of more of the neighbors.
That makes sense.
I'm looking at it, Adam. So that property, it seemed like it's linking probably 4 or 5 different families, am I right, that have access to it? Gotcha.
Yep.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It's almost like a big driveway parking lot area, I guess, for some of those buildings. So I think there's a larger potential there. But at the very least, we have an applicant, that has something in. But I think we owe it to the process to see how the municipality's process pans out, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. And how are you going to present it to number 1727?
I think we'll just tell them that we got another
offer or anything, but.
Yeah, I think that we'll just note pretty much the facts that there's interest, at least to the city of Albany, and potentially making it a common, I guess that's the right term, a common alley, common access, I guess publicly owned. And that may solve the problem that the Spire is looking for, which is for someone to basically have ownership of it. And once we know more about the municipal process, we'll let them know and leave it at that. The next we have 30 Simmons Lane. So this is a property we've had for quite some time. This is a commercial vacant lot in, I don't know if this is technically in Menands, but it's right on the edge. It's got a considerable amount of wetlands. So we've had a lot of offers on this property, but once folks start to figure out or dive into about the footprint of the wetlands, they end up withdrawing from the sale. So in this case, we have two non-commercial, non-building applications, because we've been using all the information we get about the environmental or physical constraints and letting people know to support getting more viable applications. We have two applicants here, one seeking to use it for personal recreation, and the other is seeking to use it for agriculture. And so applicant 1885 is an entity that we've sold multiple properties to in the West Hill area. They're the ones that have launched that kind of growing community food system, community garden, if you will, but it goes beyond that. So we do have a good track record with them. I do think their offer is a little low. I think our price is a little high, frankly, given how constrained that property is. So I see applicant 1759 had a higher initial offer, but I'm not sure how it's unclear what type of personal recreation you could have on a property like this that's mostly wetlands in an industrial area. I have a question about the proposed use, I suppose.
I wanted to present
these to the committee. I would recommend, just given our track record with applicant 1885, to go back and see if they could increase their offer. But I would support that application, just given having worked with them in the past and that they've done what they said they're going to do and have the ability to use it. And I think it's an interesting outcome for this property since it is permissible and it is almost complementary with the natural features of the property. But that's just based on my evaluation of the applications. I'm open to committee feedback on these.
I support it.
Me too. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll go back and hopefully they can increase their price a little bit. The next we have 311 Clinton Avenue, which is a 2-unit property in the city of Albany's Arbor Hill neighborhood. These 311 and the next building, 315, are buildings that the land bank rehabilitated under the the Attorney General's Neighbors for Neighborhoods program. And just a refresher for the committee, that program helped subsidize the rehab of both those buildings, which are the row houses near Lark Street, I guess near Henry Johnson and Lark area. And the terms and conditions of that program is they want us to find applicants who will purchase the property and operate it as a rental, and the rentals have to be affordable under the area median income for a period of 20 years. 2 Judson Street was in this program. We sold that, as a reminder. And they were open to owner-occupant use in one of the units because of the amount of time we've had these on market with little to no interest for the original desired use from the grantors. So we've been marketing these pretty aggressively. The other terms of the program that they wanted to see were local owners or people that are from the area, and the area is defined as a 15-mile radius and or the same municipality, although there may be some flexibility there given the circumstances, and also someone that is not a professional real estate investor or property owner, so someone that does not have a large portfolio of properties. I think it had to be 2 or less. And so we have an application that meets that criteria, 1497 for 311 Clinton Avenue. The applicant's proposing to operate it as a rental, so that would be both units, so that would comply with the grantor's original program terms. The offer price is a little bit above ask. The only thing we're waiting back on is, and the applicant resides in Albany, is the pre-qual letter from the bank. Obviously, the funds need to be in place for this program, and there's some specific constraints on the property. So we've had to work with lenders in the past that would accommodate that, but we were able to do that with 2 Judson. So we think this is a good viable outcome, subject to getting that proof of financing from the bank. So we would want to recommend this property sale, subject to that being presented to us. The other applicant is not based locally for a primary residence, although they said they may be moving to the area. I don't think it would fit with the spirit of the program as well. I'm not sure how the grantors would view that. So 1497 subject to proof of financing from a bank would be the recommendation here for the committee to contemplate taking to the board on Tuesday.
Fine by me. Always
go, yes,
with the
owner.
I'm in agreement.
Very good. Anyone else on that one?
I'm good.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, moving on to 315 Clinton. Same program, different building, right down the street. We have multiple applications here, really based on our review. Applicant 1781 is the most viable applicant. They have approval. They would be proposing the owner occupy it. The family, for what it's worth, we put it in the notes, but does have a family history in the Arbor Hill neighborhood. They currently reside in a different municipality, but within the 15-mile radius of the program terms. The other applicants, just to run through, 1593 has not got back to us. They were looking to purchase a property, but I believe have acquired a different property. And so we asked to see if they were still interested. They did not confirm. And then applicant 1849 applies for properties before, was unable to close, and doesn't have the financial capacity for this program. And 1859 is another potential candidate, although the reoccurring income is a is something I would flag, because we put a substantial investment into this building. We want to make sure it's maintained to a standard, and we wouldn't want to set someone up for operating rental properties without enough income to maintain the property. So with that, of the viable applications, we would recommend 1781 go forward to the board on Tuesday.
Adam, and I just want to confirm, because this is a requirement of the grant, the grant for that building, this applicant is going to move into that residence, correct?
Yeah. So because we had a lot of trouble finding buyers that met their original grant terms, they provided us the flexibility of opening it up to owner occupants. So buyers could live in one unit and rent out the other, and the rental had to meet the affordability terms of the program. And the reason for that, Natisha, why that was okay is that only one unit was fully subsidized through the grant program. So only one unit in these buildings had to meet the long-term affordability requirements without us jeopardizing the overall funding of the project. So it worked out okay. So that's what applicant 1781 would do, is basically move there and live in one unit and operate the other as a rental property.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
Adam, my only other question, I guess, just with the primary residence, something to think about with enforcement, just making sure that intended use is what the actual use is. You know, we've had one or two folks in the past who, you know, said that and then didn't perform the intended use. Just wanted to make sure we're thinking about that.
Okay. Yep, that's a good point. I think some of that will pan out from the bank lending as well for this property, but we'll definitely make sure that we focus on that if the sale is approved on Tuesday.
Perfect, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next we have 48 Judson Street, which is a vacant building in the West Hill neighborhood in the city of Albany. We have two completed applications that we want to receive and want to present to the committee. We don't recommend advancing either candidate here based upon this particular property. We receive a lot of applications to acquire the property, but I don't think we received any from buyers that are from the area, which, you know, isn't necessarily on its own a reason not to advance a sale. But we've talked previous meetings, committee meetings, and other discussions about development strategy. Judson Street is one of the corridors that I think the committee's expressed a strategic value of having more of a local presence, given the amount of out-of-town property owners in that area and some of the challenges. And so I know other properties we've talked about packaging, like 59 Judson and some of the other local properties. So we didn't see applications here that met some of that bar that was set at previous discussions with the committee and with respect to strategy. But we did want to present them with that caveat because they did complete the application process.
I agree 100%, no. Adam. Well, we've had so many issues over in that area that we don't want to take a chance with somebody that we have no history with and we don't know coming from, you know, outside the area and getting in there, and then we got a bigger problem with the residents. So if we can hold it, I think it would warrant the wisdom in that.
Okay. And thank you, Pastor Tram.
Adam, I also agree. That's okay. I don't think 1526 has the financial capacity anyways. There's some questions there as well. Otherwise, I generally agree.
Yeah, this building's a little confounding because I don't think it in terms of condition, it's not, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, someone in their office, I don't think it's not in, it doesn't need us. It's not as in need of investment as some of our other properties. So we are holding out hope that we can find some sort of package with some of the other properties we have on Judson, but we'll see. So for now, we won't advance either application. Next, we have 60 Sargent Street, which is a residential vacant lot in the city of Cohoes. We're recommending to advance the sale to applicant 1865, who lives down the road on Sargent Street, or I guess next door at Sargent Street. Is it next door or is it a door down? I can't remember. On the block. And we've had this property for
almost four years with little to no application. So we're recommending to move this one forward. 614 Clinton Avenue. This is a residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. This is a property we're recommending to advance to the Albany Community Land Trust under the Green to Own program that we discussed last month. This is just an additional property they identified that they'd be interested in putting into their program, and that's the grant-funded program that would hire local residents to maintain the lot to offset our costs, but also create a pathway to local ownership for these lots. I think we approved about a half dozen or so last month. The other applicant is not from the area and does not own property locally, so it wasn't really clear. They want to use it for parking, but it doesn't – it's not really clear why. So we would recommend going with the Albany Community Land Trust in this case. Any questions about that one before we jump to the last sale or last page?
No, we're fine.
All right, here we go. We're almost there. Thank you guys for calling in and for the time. So 623 Washington Avenue, this is a residential building in the city of Albany. We received a lot of interest in this property, as evidenced in the completed applications presented to the committee. This is a difficult one. One way we would recommend slicing this for the committee to kind of make heads or tails of all these applications is to the extent that primary residence is the preferred intended use here, to go back to those applicants, because there's quite a few, and do kind of two things. Go back to for a best and final offer for the property acquisition, but also to make sure that the financial assets are there to do the proposed rehab and pay for the acquisition price of the property. As we ran through this list, although the applications were complete, some of the financial assets didn't seem to pencil out. So we thought that through our staff discussions, that would be one way to sort through this large number of people interested in the property. But we're interested in other approaches or feedback or direction from the committee.
I agree. That's the way to start. Adam, how much is it going to take to rehabilitate it? Do you know, offhand, approximate? Maybe Amanda knows.
Amanda?
That's a hard question to answer. It depends upon how damaged the plumbing and heating systems are. There's some water damage through the roof that hopefully is being mitigated now. I'm just going to look at the budgets. I would say just looking at the budget numbers, you're probably looking at like 40,000.
Yeah.
Especially with the work on the plumbing and the heating and electrical. Usually, if you look at the numbers, you know, if you see about what's at the middle, that's probably going to be reasonable. People spending a whole lot more generally are doing a higher level rehab than someone who might be able to come in and get it serviceable.
$50,000 gift would work.
Yeah, I would say the rehab floor for this, just looking at the numbers and trying to think about the condition of the building, is I was going to suggest a floor of around $30,000 minimum. Some of these are much lower than that, and I don't think those are viable investments in the property. And we did do some work on the roof here. I think last committee meeting or the meeting before that, this was the property there was question about our investment or if we're going to make an investment. And I believe this is the one where we actually had some roof work underway. So we did make a partial investment in this building, which will help, but there's still work to be done here. So I think that one way to to approach this is prior to the board meeting is to, if primary residence based on past discussions, I feel like is supported, sorting by primary residence, best and final, making sure that the money is available to do the rehab costs, which would be a floor of around $30,000 minimum, and then the assets to also do that and acquire the building would make for a strong candidate to, or two or three to bring to the board on Tuesday.
I agree. I think that framework is probably the best way to do it. And then definitely strongly recommend having a backup buyer and potentially a third buyer if there's an eligible third buyer, just to make sure that this property moves. I think we've got a lot of applications here, and we don't want to lose anybody who is eligible, so to speak.
Right. Okay. So we'll shoot for up to three that meet that framework, unless anyone on the committee has any other suggestions or ways to approach it.
My only other question, Adam, is, it looks like most of the incomes would qualify, but we use AG money on that roof, which would limit us in the income as well.
Yep.
Yeah, but it only limits you by, there's only two people in here that would be higher than that level. And
yeah, we ran that too.
And you could, in theory, with like a redevelop and resell, you could just limit buyer at the resell point. If the developer is willing to do that.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Good question. Thank you, Sam. All right, home stretch. So 9 First Street is a residential vacant lot.
I'm sorry, Adam. I have to hop off. Have a great day, everyone.
Oh, thank you for calling in. 9 First Street, residential vacant lot in Altamont, New York. And technically, I think that's Queens. We received an application from applicant 1700. They have purchased some other properties in the hamlet here, and they're looking to redevelop it. The only suggestion I would have here is to perhaps go back for a slightly increased offer prior to bringing it to the board. But if the offer wasn't increased, that's what I would recommend, is going back for a little bit more money prior to bringing it to the board. Other than that, viable application, the principal of the applicant is a known developer and has other developments in the area, and I think capable of down the road developing the property, which I think is the plan here. Right now, there's no immediate plan to develop it. It would just be kept as kind of open space.
Yeah, Adam, with that in mind, we definitely want to get that offer amount up because it's currently under our asking price. So,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyone have any feedback on that one?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Route 156 is in Bern? Is that in Bern?
Ah.
Okay.
Knox.
Oh, Knox. All right, Knox. This is up the hill from Altamont. This is a large parcel of vacant land that we have multiple applications on. We're recommending to advance the sale to applicant 1868, whose offer amount is very close to our asking price, but is also an adjacent property owner to this parcel. Unless anyone's opposed.
Nope. Go ahead.
Okay. Last property is 50 Swinton Street, which is a residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. We have a side lot application from an adjacent owner, applicant 1916. We're recommending to advance the sale. The only thing we may want to consider, and this is really minor, is asking the applicant to come up to our kind of our going rate for side lots. Will, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not in the Spend a Little, Get a Lot program, right? Or is it?
Nope. No.
So it would be a standard side lot sale, which is around $500 in the city of Albany in this neighborhood. Other than that, strong application and a logical outcome, I would recommend that sale to the committee.
Okay, agreed.
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay. That's all the sales I have on my list, and that's all the items I have on the agenda. Unless anyone has any other questions about the sales, I think we should take a motion for the record here and vote down, and then we'll get to work on our side on the follow-up.
I move.
Okay, that was Charlie. Anyone second? Sam? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any committee members opposed? Abstain? Very good. Okay, that is the entirety of the agenda. Unless anyone has anything else in committee members, we can close out.
Okay, thank you. Everybody have a great day and be safe.
You too.
Thank you all. Thank you for calling in. Be safe. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Please.